Today's shiur is Masechet Chulin, Daf Tzadik Tes, and we will begin on Daf Tzadik Ches Amid Beis, 14 lines from the bottom of Miyal Pi Aminah. We have learned in the previous shiur that something becomes bottled, something becomes nullified, either in a ratio of 60 to 1 or 100 to 1, is learned from the halach of Zroya B'Sheva. The halach of Zroya B'Sheva is that when a Nazir completes his term of Naziris, he has to bring a carbon, and one of the carbonas that he brings is an ayil for carbon shlamim. And the halacha, as we learned from the previous shiur, is that that ayil, the foreleg of that ayil, goes to the kohen. The Yisrael may not eat that foreleg. Yet, as we learned in the previous shiur, that foreleg is cooked together with the rest of the animal. Even though it's cooked together with the rest of the animal, and therefore it gives tam, it gives taste to the rest of the animal, the halacha is that the rest of the animal may be eaten by Yisraelim who normally may not eat the Zroya. Why? Because obviously it's bottled. And as we learned, the Gemara mentioned that either we come to a ratio of 60 to 1, or either we come to a ratio of 100 to 1. Ask the Gemara, do we learn the halacha from Zroya B'Sheva? For Tanya, we learned in a braisa that speaks about this halacha of Ze Hetabo Mechlalister. That this din of Zroya B'Sheva is an exception to the rule where something mutter comes from something usser. Only here do we learn this halacha, nowhere else. Isn't this teaching us that Zelu Matamai, isn't this Bryce come to teach us that we should not learn the halacha of Zroya B'Sheva to anywhere else? Lav Lamuti Kali Surin Shvatayra, isn't it come to teach us that everywhere else the halacha is not like here, and we should learn the halacha of the rest of the Torah from Zroya B'Sheva? So the Farshim asked the question, that why are we saying, or why are we thinking, that this Bryce has come to teach us that we shouldn't learn the halacha of Bittel from Zroya B'Sheva, because Zroya B'Sheva is a unique halacha? Why can't we say that this uniqueness of Zroya B'Sheva is, as we're going to be learning, we're allowed to take the Zroya, which, as we just explained, a kohen may not eat, a Yisrael may not eat, and cook it together with the rest of the meat that a Yisrael may yes eat. So it's a very unique halacha, because normally the halacha is eim avatlam islechatchila. So maybe that's what the Brice has come to teach us, that the usual halacha of eim avatlam islechatchila does not apply to the Zroya B'Sheva. Why don't we say that that's what this Brice is teaching us? So I saw that the Rishonim offer a number of answers to this question. One answer that the Rashi gives is that this concept of bittul iser l'chatchila, that one l'chatchila should not go and be mevatel iser, is only a derabbanan. But the Rashi said there is no halacha of bittul iser l'chatchila, and therefore that can't be what this Rashi is coming to teach us, that Zroya B'Sheva is an exception to the rule. Another teretz that Tosfos suggests, that even though there is indeed a rule that Eim Revatlan Isla Chachila, says Tosfos, that rule of Eim Revatlan Isla Chachila doesn't mean that you're not allowed to eat what when you were Mevatl Isla. And it's only the Chachila. But B'Dievet, even by all Yisurim you're allowed to eat. So when the Brice is saying that the din of Zroya B'Sheva is a unique rule, it can't mean that rule, because Bittul Isla Chachila applies. Because there is no difference, because always you're allowed to eat if you were mevatel iser l'chatchila. Amar Baya, says Baya, what the Brice is coming to teach us is Elul Rabbi Yehuda. It's coming to explain according to Rabbi Yehuda that we know the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is min b'minoi loy bottle. Whenever it's a min b'minoi, it doesn't become bottle. Kamash Malah teaches us this Brice, that the Zroya B'Sheva is an exception to the rule, and even though it's min b'minoi, it's both, or it's all meat, the halacha is the bottle that it will become bottled. Ask the Gemara for living meaning. Why don't we learn from the Zroi B'Sheila to Kalatayr Kula that just like over here, Min B'Mina is bottle, we should say B'Kalatayr Kula that Min B'Mina is bottle? Answers the Gemara, Gala Rachmana, the Torah teaches us by the halacha of the Dama Pava Dama Sar. We know that on Yom Kippur, they had to bring Kavanas, and they had to bring a par, which is a bull, a much larger animal than the sar, which is a goat. And as the Gemara and Sefer Yom explains, that Rav Oishi's opinion is that they would mix the blood of the par and the blood of the sar in one keli and sprinkle from it on the Mizbeach. Rav Yonason says that they were kept separately. Rav Yehuda, as the Gemara explains many places, obviously concurs with the opinion of Rav Oishi, and he says that let's look at this situation, that the Dam HaPar is so much more than the Dam HaSoyer, yet the Torah still calls the Dam HaSoyer still Dam HaSoyer. So we see, because they're both Dam, it's Min B'Minoi. Min B'Minoi never becomes bottle. Ask the Ramban, how does Rabbi Huda bring a raya from that halacha that Min B'Minoi is not bottle? Maybe there is indeed, as we just said, much more dam from the par than there is from the dam of the sar, but there isn't 60 shishim, there isn't 60 times dam par versus dam sar. And therefore, maybe normally Min B'Minoi does indeed become bottle. Just over here, you don't have the proper ratio. So answers the Ramban. Once we learn from the halacha of dam par and dam sawyer that Min B'Minoi is not bottle, yes, that once we learn from there that a regular rive would not be effective, so then it'll turn out that we're going to learn from Zroi B'Sheila Akula, that even though it's not bottle, there B'Rive, Shishim works. And as the Gemara is soon going to explain, says the Ramban, our Gemara says that Zroi B'Sheila could only serve as a Chumrah, not as a Kula. Ask the Gemara, so the way we have it now, is we actually have two places where the Torah speaks about Min B'Minoi. One is by the case of Zroi B'Sheila, which seems to indicate that Min B'Minoi is bottle, and the other case is the case of Dam Par V'Dam Sor, that seems to indicate that Min B'Minoi is not bottle. So ask the Gemara, or my chazus, the Gemini Mahayich, what is Yehuda learn from the halacha of Dam Par V'Dam Sor, Ligma Mahay? Shouldn't he prefer to learn from the halacha of Zroi B'Sheila, where we could learn that Min B'Minoi is bottle? So of course, all the Rishonim ask that we have a rule throughout Shas that whenever we can learn something L'Kula or L'Chumra, we prefer to learn L'Chumra. So why is the Gemara saying, even a Havamina, that we should learn from, preferably from the Din of Zroi B'Sheila, versus learning from the Halacha of Dama Pava, Dama Soy? So I saw two approaches in Rishonim how to answer this question. One approach in Rishonim is, of course, if we can maintain both limudim, that is the best. And the Gemara's question, therefore, is, learn from Dama Par and Dama Sawyer that a regular Roiv is inadequate, and learn from Zroi B'Sheila that Shishim is good enough. That's one way the Rishonim explain the Gemara's question, and like that you can maintain both Hekeshim. Another way that I sort of Rishonim ask is as follows. The Man the Omer, the Chacham who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, and say that Min B'Minoi is bottle, what do they do with the Pasuk of Dama Par V'Dama Sar, which seems to clearly indicate that Min B'Minoi is not bottle? So it's a question that the Gemara already poses in the Sechta Yuma. And the Gemara Masechta Yuma answers to that question that even if we hold normally that Min B'Minoi is bottle, the Mizbeach, something that's put on the Mizbeach, is treated differently. If so, says the Rishonim, our Gemara's question is very geschmack. Learn from Zroi B'Sheila, the Min B'Minoi is not bottle. We have the Pasuk Adama Par V'Adama Sawyer that clearly indicates that Min B'Minoi doesn't become bottle. We'll say, as the Chachamim teach us, that the case of Dama Par V'Adama Sawyer is different because something that's put on the Mizbeach never becomes bottle. Answers the Gemara, as we said earlier, Chiddushu. The whole halacha of Zroi B'Sheil is a chiddush, that we're allowed to take something that which we're not allowed to eat and be mevatalit together with everything else, chiddushu, that we're allowed to take something that we Israelim may not eat and cook it together with something that only a kohen may eat. When we chiddush, like the meaning, we can't learn from a chiddush to anywhere else, to any other subject in halacha. Ask the Gemara, if that's what we're saying now, that the halacha of Zroi B'Sheil represents a significant chiddush. So ask the Gemara, Hachi l'mei v'shishim nami lo l'migmar. We learned in the previous year, that how do we know the whole din of shishim l'meia? The way we know the din of shishim l'meia is because we learn it from Zroi B'Sheil. But now the Gemara is teaching us that the din of Zroi B'Sheil represents a chiddush. So we can learn from Zroi B'Sheil to other areas of halacha. Answers the Gemara, Ata anam l'kula gamrinin. Are we trying to use the halacha of Zroi B'Sheila to teach us a kula? Oh, we're using it to teach us a chumra. The midaraisa, the halacha is that the beruba bottle. The halacha ought to be that it's bottle beroif. Comes along the halacha of Zroi B'Sheila, because that's always the halacha that you need roif. Comes along Zroi B'Sheila and teaches us that you need sheishim u'meya. So we learn from it a chumra, even though, as Pash Pshah in the Gemara is, that even though, in general, Zroi B'Sheila, as we're learning now, represents a kula, but in this aspect, that you need Shishim or Meya, not just the Roiv, it represents a Chumra, so we can learn this element, even though we don't learn the general Halacha. Ask Rishonim, how can we learn from how can we learn from Zroi B'Sheila the number of shishim or the number of meya, as we've been learning in our shir? Min Zroi B'Sheila represents a situation of min b'minoi. Maybe min b'sheina minoi should be treated differently. So the Rishonim answer that indeed the halacha of min of shishim or meya or min b'minoi was learned by Zroi B'Sheila, according to the Chumim, the Min B'Minoi bottle. The halacha by other areas, the Min B'She'enu Minoi, that it becomes bottle, B'Shishim, is not learned from Zroi B'Sheila. That's learned from Svara. The Svara teaches us that that when you have the ratio of 60 to 1, the Tam becomes bottle. That's one approach that I saw in the Rishonim. Another approach that I saw in the Rishonim is that the halacha of Zroi B'Sheila teaches us that the number 60 is the number to follow when we talk about mixtures. So indeed, the halacha of Zroi B'Sheila is a case of min b'minoi, but it can serve as the source of teaching us the number 60. Continues the Gemara. And again, the point of this Gemara is to try to understand what does the Braisa mean when it's said regarding the din of Zroi B'Sheila of Zehu Heter Habar Mechlal Isser. Says the Gemara, Lo Nitzchal Tam Kippur. There's a halacha in Hilchas Taruvus called Tam Kippur. Tam Kippur teaches us that you don't have the actual Isser, you only have the Tam of the Isser. And Tam Kippur says that even though you only have the time of the Isser, it still has the ability to Asr. And as Rishonim point out, there are a number of sources in Halacha how we know this thing of Tam Keker. One source that the Rishonim point out is the fact that Torah speaks about Mishras. Mishras means that if you soaked together grapes in water, and then you took those grapes out of the water, so now you only have the taste of grape in that water. The halacha is
that a Nazir is not allowed to drink that water. Even though it only has the taste of grapes, it doesn't actually have grapes. Another source for the halacha of Tam Kikr is the halacha Bas B'Cholof. You know that the halacha Bas B'Cholof teaches us that if you cook meat and milk together, so all you have in the meat is the taste of the milk, or vice versa, you took the meat out of the pot of milk, so only you have here left is the taste of the meat, the halacha is that it's still considered Bas B'Cholof. Another way that we know the halacha of Tam Kikr is from the halacha of Kashrin. We know that the walls of the pot, the walls of a pot that absorbs something non-kosher, are considered, that has to be kosher. You don't have in the walls anything other than just tam. Yet the halacha is that even though all you have is just tam, kashering is required. There is a fundamental machlokes rishonim, how to understand the halacha of tam kikr. Does tam kikr say that as if once the tam of something usur is absorbed by something else? Let's use the classical case. The classical case is that let's say you cook a piece of kosher, of non-kosher meat together with your kosher meat. So tam kikr says that the tam of that non-kosher meat goes into the kosher meat. So what does the halacha say? Does the halacha say that that piece of kosher meat is now halachically considered like a piece of non-kosher meat? Or does tam kikr say that we have in it the tam of iser in it, but not that it transformed that kosher piece of meat into a non-kosher piece of meat? There will be a number of nafkaminas and halacha between these two approaches. Just to mention two. One nafkamina will be regarding, we know that in order to get an oinish, in order to get a punishment for eating machalos asuris, you have to eat a kazayis. So again, to our case, where the non-kosher meat was cooked together with the kosher meat, how much do you have to eat of the non-kosher meat to be chayiv? Do you have to eat a whole kazayis, just eat a kazayis of it? Because now this kosher meat is considered non-kosher, and therefore as soon as you eat a kazayis of it, you're chayiv. Or do you have to eat a amount that you'll know you'll have that much of the non-kosher meat having been consumed? That's one nafkamina. Then there's another interesting nafkamina, and that is, what would be the halacha where you have, let's say you had wheat cooked together with rice? And we know that to the yotze, the mitzvah matzah on Pesach, the rice, the meat, you have to have matzah made out of wheat, not made out of rice. But now this rice absorbed the tam of wheat. And now the question is very obvious. Do we say that the meat is considered, do we say that this meat is considered like, do we say that this rice is considered like wheat? And if we say that this rice is considered like wheat, then the halacha will be, you have to eat, even if you make the matzah out of this rice, it will be kosher matzah. If, on the other hand, we say that it doesn't have to have, that it doesn't transform the rice into wheat, it still can't be used for matzah. So Rabbi Amalai Nisrael Tam Kikr. And we're going to learn the Gemara, how Rashi explains the Gemara. Rashi explains the Gemara as follows. The Bekotchim also. Rashi explains that by Kotchim, we say Tam Kikr. By Chulin, we do not say Tam Kikr. Zroi B'Sheila teaches us the Braisa, the Hakishari. Zroi B'Sheila, we don't say Tam Kikr, because let's think about it. The Tam of this foreleg goes into the rest of the animal. And even though the Tam of this foreleg goes into the rest of the animal, as we've been saying, the halacha still is that you're allowed to eat the entire animal. So we see that this is an exception to the rule, and we don't say Tam Kikr over here. That's how Rashi explains. Tosfos, so according to Rashi's understanding, we never say Tam Kikr by Chulin Midaraisa. That's Tosfos' approach. That's Rashi's approach. Tosfos, and the din of Tam Kikr by Chulin, according to Rashi, is only Midarabonim. Whereas according to Tosfos,
That isn't the way to understand the Gemara. And according to Tosfos, the halach of tam ki'ikar, even by chulin, is the raisin. And as the Pesach can point out, what is the nafkamina between Rashi and Tosfos? In a situation where there'll be a suffix if you have tam ki'ikar, let's say the ingredients that began with spilled out. According to Rashi, since it's only by chulin, according to Rashi, since it's only the Rabbanon, we can be more lenient. According to Tosfos, we'd have to be stringent. So Gemara is teaching us here that by Zroi B'Sheila, even if we normally say Tam Kikr, we don't say Tam Kikr by Zroi B'Sheila. Ask the Gemara for Ligmanite. Why don't we learn from Zroi B'Sheila that by all, again following Rashi's approach, that by all situations of Kachim, we should not say Tam Kikr Midaraisa? Answers the Gemara, Gali Rachmanik Abichatos. The Torah teaches us by the Parsha of Chatos that we should say the din of Tam Kikr. So the Pasuk says, that anything that comes in contact with the Karmel Chatos, Lios Tamo, should be treated like the Karmel Chatos. Which means, explains the Braisa, Shem Psula, if the Karmel Chatos was Pasul, let's say it was Noiser, or let's say it was Pigel, Tipasel, whatever comes in contact that's cooked together with that Karmel Chatos, will also have the din of Noiser. And in Kshera, and if it's kosher, say ochel kacham shabbat. It should be eaten like the more stringent. As Tosfos says, the Gir says, toch kacham shabbat. What does that mean? Let's say it came in contact with another carbon. It came in contact with carbon shlomim. So pasht pshan the Gemara is as follows. We know that the halach is that carbon chatos is only necho liyoyim v'layla, for one day and one night. A carbon shlomim is necho for 2 days and a night. So now when these two carbonas came in contact, so we say the tam of the carbon chatos went into the carbon shlomim, and the halacha will be that you will not be allowed to eat the carbon shlomim only for yoyim v'layla. But as I said, Tosfos' girsa is kachomer shebehen, and as Tosfos explains, what's the point of his girsa? Because sometimes coming into contact with a carbon shlomim can represent actually a chumrah. Why? Because as I just said a moment ago, a carbon chatos is nechel l'yoyim v'layla. A carbon shlomim is nechel l'shnei yomim v'layla, for 2 days and a night. But let's say we brought this carbon shlomim yesterday. So the time till when you could eat this carbon shlomim will be till tonight, till tonight. The carbon chatos with the raisa can be eaten till tomorrow morning. But because these two kabbalists now came in contact with each other, nechel chom shebehen, and the halach is that you will only be allowed to eat this carbon chatos until tonight, not until tomorrow morning, because nechel chom shebehen. So I saw a beautiful vart from the Chiddush HaRim. The Chiddush HaRim says that this vart is a vart that because of this word of art, it can help Mashiach come. That's what the Chiddush HaRim says regarding this art. He says that the pasuk in Parshas Emor puts together the parasha of Shabbos together with the parasha of Me'adam, and he tries to understand, why are these two parashas put together? So he explains that if we think about it, Shabbos and Yom Tov are very, very different. Because Shabbos represents a Kedusha that's Kaviyah V'Kaimah. It represents a Kedusha that is here automatically. We don't do anything to make that Kedusha come. If we think about Yom Tov, Yom Tov is a Kedusha that comes through us. We say when Yom Tov is, and once we say when Rosh Chodesh is, based on what we say when Rosh Chodesh is, that's how we know when Yom Tov is. So says the Chiddush HaRim. That is the concept. Just like our Gemara says, that whatever comes in contact with a Karmel Chatos is Kadosh, just like a Karmel Chatos, so too is the same regarding us.
Because Klal Yisrael, he says, comes in contact with the Yom, because Klal Yisrael comes in contact with the Yom Tovim, with Shabbos, that infuses us with Kedusha, and once we are infused with Kedusha, we have the ability to have that Kedusha spread to Yom Tovim. And that's what he says is Pshat in the bracha that we say, the Kaddish Shabbos for Yisrael. We say, first we have Kedusha Shabbos. That Kedusha Shabbos is Mekadosh Yisrael. And that Kedusha that's Mekadosh Shabbos is then Mekadosh Yisrael, that it gives us the ability to go further. It gives us the ability to go further and be Mekadosh Lezmanim, even Yom Tovim. Because anything that comes in contact with Kedusha, as our Gemara is teaching us, becomes, by extension, Kaddish. So we see that we hold, so that's what the Gemara is saying. We learn from Chatos that we say Tam Kikar, rather from Zroi B'Sheila. Ask the Gemara, or my chaz is the Gamirim Ahaich, why do we prefer to learn from the Halacha of Chatos that we say Tam Kikar by Kotshim, Ligma Mahai? Why don't we learn from Zroi B'Sheila that which should not be that way? So again, the Rishonim asked the question that we mentioned earlier. Don't we have a rule that whenever we could go L'Chumra, we prefer to go L'Chumra versus going L'Kula? So here too, we should preferably learn from Chatos rather than learning from Zroi B'Sheila. So the Rishonim answer that we could have used the case, the Din of Chatos, to teach us a different rule. We could have said that from Chatos we learned the Halacha of Heter Mitztarif L'Isser. Heter Mitztarif L'Isser means that let's say you have a Chatzi Kazayis of something that's Osir, and Chatzi Kazayis of something that's Mutter, and now you eat that entire Kazayis, it's as if you ate a Kazayis of something that's Osir. And therefore, maybe from Chatos we learn that if we have a half a Kazayis of a Korban Chatos and a half a Kazayis of regular meat, it's as if we ate a Kazayis of Chatos. And therefore, the two psukim could remain. The two hekeshim could remain. Chatos will teach us the din of hetav mitztarif l'isser, that it's osir. And from Zroi B'Sheila we'll learn that tam ki'ikr is mutter. That's one approach on the Rishonim that I saw. Another approach that I saw on the Rishonim is that tam ki'ikr, the pasuk of Chatos will teach us that we say tam ki'ikr when you only have a roif. But in a situation where you have shishim or meya, as we're learning, so is the situation by Zroi B'Sheila, there we don't say tam kicker. So the Gemara's question is, maybe we can maintain both hakeshim. Answers the Gemara, chiddushu, the entire concept of Zroi B'Sheila represents a chiddush, or mechiddush l'gemirin, as we've been learning, we can't learn from a chiddush to anywhere else in halacha. Ask the Gemara, if we're saying that that represents a chiddush, yihachi lemei v'shishim nami lo ligmar, so how can we learn the ratio or meyo or shishim from Zroi B'Sheila? Answers the Gemara, ata anan l'kula gaminin, are we using that to teach us a kula? On the contrary, l'chumra gaminin, we're using that concept to teach us a chumra. The midaraisa, because if we would look midaraisa, we would say that beruba batel, you only arrive is enough, comes along the halacha of Zroi B'Sheila and says that a roiv is not enough, you need to have shishim or meya. Ravina offers another teretz to the question that we began our shiur with, what does the braisa mean when it singles out the din of Zroi B'Sheila and says zeo het abo mechal isser. Says Gemara, Ravina amaloi nitzucha el lamakim chatach. As we recall that we learned earlier in our masechta, we learned earlier in our Masechta the Halacha of Ben Bekua. And the Halacha of Ben Bekua teaches us that a fetus that's found in its mother's womb may be eaten with the shechita of the mother. But as the Mishnah and the Gemara taught us, that is only in a situation where the fetus did not stick out its hand. But if the fetus stuck out its hand, then the Halacha is that you cannot eat that hand. And as we learned, certainly if the fetus hand remained out of the womb of its mother during the duration of the shechita, the halacha will be that that hand is osur,
And not only is that hand also, but even the place where the hand is attached to the rest of the fetus also remains also. Teaches us the Gemara. Loi Netzucha. That's what the Brice is trying to teach us is unique about the Zroi B'Sheil. El Mokim Chatach. Dom Mokim Chatach Ba'alma also. Normally, as we just explained, the place that it's attached is Osir V'Hacha. However, here, it's Shari, the Mokim Chatach, the place where the fetus's hand is attached to the place where the Zroi B'Sheil, the foreleg, is attached to the rest of the animal, will be Shari, will be Mutter. There's a Machloikis Rishonim. How to understand this Gemara? Is this a halacha strictly limited to Zroya B'Sheila, that here the Mokim Chatach is Mutter, but in all other areas of halacha, the Mokim Chatach is Aser? That's one approach that I saw in the Rishonim. Another approach that I saw in the Rishonim is that this halacha applies to all Kachim, that by all Kachim, we're lenient on the Mokim Chatach. Says the Gemara, Yosef Ravdimi v'kamal ha-shmatz. Ravdimi was sitting and learning this Gemara. Amalai b'ayah, v'chol ha-surim sh'v'tar b'meyah. Is this indeed true that in all other Yisurim, the ratio is 100 to 1? But tonight, the Mishnah says regarding Truma, lam amru kal mechametz, whenever somebody mixes together 11, a Truma which is mechametz, which is chametz, which has the ability to leaven, or metabol, or it has the ability to spice, or medabma, or he cooks together truma food with chulun food, the lahachmer. When are we machmer? By min of minoy. When the two things that are mixed together are the same. Lahaka lahachmer. But sometimes we mako, and sometimes we machmer. Where is that? That is by min v'sheinim. And the Gemara is going to obviously explain this braisa. The Ketani Sefer, and in continuing to learn this braisa, lahakal lahakam min v'shein aminoi. When the braisa says that when it's a min v'shein aminoi, sometimes we make and sometimes we machmer. Ketzad. What does that mean? Grayson shnis bashlam hechitim. If beans were beans of truma were cooked together with lentils of chulin. Im yesh ben benoisin tam. If they have the ability to, if the taste of the truma is so strong that it gives flavor into this mixture, whether you have a ratio of 101 or you don't, it's also. As we're going to learn, by truma, the ratio is 100 to 1. How do we know that the ratio is 100 to 1? Because we know that when you start with 100 pounds of produce, you have to give 10%, which would be 10 pounds, to the levy as maaser rishon. The levy has to give 10% of what he receives, which in this case would be 1 pound, to the kohen as trumas maaser. And the pasuk says, "Mikol matnaseichem trimus kol trumas Hashem mikol chelboy es migdasha mimenu," that if that amount, if that truma, that 1 pound, which is 1%, which is a ratio of 100 to 1, fell into that mixture, the entire mixture becomes treated like truma. So for here we see that it, since here the ratio was 99 to 1, that's why it doesn't become bottle. Were it to be a ratio of 100 to 1, it would become bottle. Furthermore, we're trying to make a very interesting point. The Braisa keeps on using the words lahalois. Why does the Braisa use the word lahalois, not to use the word levatel? Because there's a discussion, which we will talk about in our shiurim. Whenever you have a case of bittel, do you have to have, let's say one piece fell into 60 pieces. Do you have to take out, and now you have a mixture that's indeed bottled. Do you have to take out one piece? Now, you know that the one piece you're taking out is obviously not necessarily a piece that's the piece that's also. Because if you knew that that was the piece that's also, then you would just take it out. So the question is, do you have to take out that one piece or not? And the halacha is, not necessarily you have to take it out. By truma, you certainly have to take it out. And that's why the Brice used the words lahalos. So if it's nice and time, it never becomes bottle. Ein ba menoysa tam, if it's not noysa tam. Ben shi yesh lam ba alas mei ve echot. Ben shi ein lam alas mei ve echot. If it doesn't have the proper shear, it's mutter. It becomes bottle. Ein ba hem alas mei ve echot. So the Bryce is saying that it doesn't have the shear of 101. El ba mai. So what must the shear be? Shishin. So we see that something becomes bottle, b'shishim, you don't have to have that it should become bottle, b'meyah. Different than what we've been learning, that the halacha is that perhaps you need to have meyah. Answers the Gemara, loy. The Mishnah is referring to a situation where it became bottle and meyah. Ask the Gemara, how can we limp shot in that Mishnah that way? For Hamid the Reisha, let's go back to the Reisha. If the Reisha is speaking about a case that it was Meyah, have a safe B'shishin, then we have to say that the safe is only talking about Shishin. Because let's review the Reisha, the Tani Reisha. What did the Reisha say? L'hachma min v'minoi. The Reisha said that we're stricter by min v'minoi than we are by min v'ish and minoi. Ketzat, what does that mean? Sar shachitin shenafel isa shachitin. If leavening made out of wheat fell into a dough made out of wheat, the yesh b'kedei lechametz, and it has enough, it has the ability to leaven the dough. Ben sheyesh b'kedei lechametz mei ve'echot, ben ke'ein b'kedei lechametz mei ve'echot. It doesn't make a difference at that point what the ratio is, also, because it's considered that it doesn't become bottle. Ein b'kedei lechametz mei ve'echot. But let's say it doesn't have a ratio of 101. Ben sheyesh b'kedei lechametz, ben ke'ein b'kedei lechametz. Doesn't make a difference, even if it doesn't have the ability to be mechametz, it's also. So we see that even by min b'minoi, the shear is 100 to 1. So the Mishnah said that there's a difference between min b'minoi and min v'she'en b'minoi, but the way we're explaining now, by both of them, the ratio is the same, 100 to 1. There's an interesting question that the Rishonim, the Ramban, discusses. Whenever we speak about min v'minoi, something being considered min v'minoi, there's a machloikis amaroyim, what falls into the category of min v'minoi. Abaya holds that we follow the tam, that if the two items have the same taste, that's called min v'minoi. Rava is that says that we follow the shem. If two things are called by the same name, that's what's called min v'minoi. As Ramban, if we speak about this case, where you have the sor falling into the isa, it doesn't have the same tam, nor does it have the same shame. So why is the Mishnah using this as an example of min v'minoi? It doesn't follow any of the requirements of min v'minoi. So Ramban answers that since if you leave dough, any dough, if you leave long enough, it will turn into sourdough, it will turn into sor. That's why, even though right now this is dough and this is sar, it's still able to be called min v'minoi. But again, to the Gemara's question, the Braisa wanted to draw a distinction between min v'minoi and min v'ein v'minoi. But the way we're learning now, by both of them, the halacha is the same, that the ratio is 100 to 1. So the Gemara loy, there is a difference. Ratio, the shear will be Meir Ve'echod. You have to have 101 to 1 ratio. The Sefer, whereas in the Sefer, the ratio will be Meir, the ratio will be 100 to 1. So the difference is between 100 to 1 versus 101 to 1. There is a machloikis in the Rishonim. When we look at this number of 101, what does that mean? Rashi says that you have to have 101 heter versus 100 is 101 heter versus 1. So again, according to Rashi, by min v'minoi, the ratio is 101 to 1, and min v'ein v'minoi, it's 100 to 1. Other Rishonim seem to learn that by min v'minoi, the ratio has to be 100 to 1, and by min v'ein v'minoi, the ratio is 99 to 1. But that's the entire difference between min v'minoi and min v'she'en v'minoi. Ask the Gemara, So we're making this very small difference between 101 versus 100. The chiyesh by kedai l'chametz, the something that has 101 to 1 ratio. That so the Mishnah says that sometimes it still could be not bottled. The mei v'chad a mei v'le bottle. How could you have such a large ratio and it shouldn't be bottled? That the Mishnah says that sometimes it doesn't become bittle. Bottle, says the Mar Ishtik. Redeemi was silent. He didn't know how to answer. How can we explain that there's ever a case? So Rishonim asked the obvious question. Oh, the Achronim asked the question. As long as we thought that the ratio was 100 to 1, we were able to understand the Mishnah. Now that we said that the ratio was 101 to 1, now it's different, difficult to understand. So the Mefarshim asked, is that one drop going to make a difference? So the Achronim answer that we have to understand, and the Gemara actually will teach us this in a moment, that chimutz, here we're not talking about a regular situation of nesinas tam. Of course, in a regular situation of nesinas tam, the difference between 100 to 1 versus 101 to 1 is very negligible. Here we're talking about a situation, they explain, of chimutz, that it causes the dough to leaven. And therefore, the Gemara is asking, can there really be a difference in the ability of leavening between 100 to 1 versus 101 to 1? Amle, to which he indeed answers, Dilmashani Surah the Chimutzu Kasha. When we speak about leavening, we can't, every drop does make a difference, and there can indeed perhaps be a difference between a ratio of 100 to 1 versus a ratio of 101 to 1. And says the Gemara, Amle, at God the Milsa Nam Rav Yosef Chini, Rav Chedima said, you actually reminded me something that Rav Yosef Chanina taught us. Blood color shiurim shavim. Not all situations are the same. Sharit sir shiur kurul masayim. When we speak about brine getting mixed into something else, then the shear may be up to 200 to 1. Where do we see this? The Tanan. Dog tame. When we speak about non kosher fish, siroi asir, the brine is asir. Rav Yehuda Omer, revius b'sasayim. Even if we have a revius getting mixed in, a quarter of a loid getting mixed into two saw, and if we think about it, a saw has in it six calves, and a calf has four logs. So two saw has 48 loigen, or 192 quarter loigen. And yet it says that a revius doesn't, so it's a ratio of 192 to 1, yet because it has such a sharp taste, it doesn't become bottled. Similarly, over here, the Isa, the Sar, since it has such a strong power of being Mechametz, it doesn't become bottled. Ask the Gemara, how could Yehuda say that if you did have the ratio of 192 to 1, it would become bottled? Haven't we been learning that it is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, the min b'mino loy bottle, and the tzir and the fish, therefore should never become bottled? Answers the Gemara, Shani tzir, the zeh ba'amuhu. Tzir is only zeh. And the machlok is Rishonim how to understand this Gemara's parents. One shot that Rishonim suggests is that tzir is only osam ed rabbanon, and since tzir is only osam ed rabbanon, that's why we could take a more lenient position. Another approach that Rishonim suggests is not that tzir is osam ed rabbanon. Tzir is indeed osam ed araisa. But because tzir is not considered actual fish, it's only considered zeh ba'alma, that's why it's treated differently, and the shear indeed will be, it will become bottle even though it's min b'mina. So Mishnah taught us that if a thigh was cooked together with the gid anasha, that if the gid anasha gives tam, the entire thigh is also. Ketzim Misharinim. How do we know if the gid anasha gave tam into the thigh? So the Mishnah said, basa belefis, like meat and turnips. Amar Funit, which are Funit tamens, basa barashi lifters. We're talking about the top of the turnips, which have a stronger flavor. So we see a greater amount of meat is needed to give flavor into the top of turnips than into the root.
Says the Gemara, Masnisin, the like Aitana, our Mishnah doesn't follow this Tana. The Tana of Shrub, and Oshab, Jacob, and Bright, Omer, and the Gidim, and Oshab, and Tam.
So, our Mishnah speaks about, we have to see if the Gid gave Tam and what it was cooked. He says the Gidim don't have Tam.
Says the Gemara, Who does look at Kanina? Have Yosra of Yehuda Bezunina Baba? Kinafik, if Yehuda Bezunina was sitting by the door, Kinafik Omam, my Amalot. When the person left, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Zvina asked him, what did he say to you? Amle Sharia Na'ale. What did he say to me? What did he say to you regarding the food? He said that the food was mutter. It was referring to a situation where food was cooked together with the Gura Nosha. Amle, Hada Ailal Kameh. Please go back and ask him again. Oma, so when he came back, said, Man Haida Kometzaili. Who's trying to bother me? Zil Eimelon, Laman the Yosef Baba, go tell the person sitting at the entrance to the home, and we give them a nasim tam, and we don't have to worry about tam that comes out of the gate. He also kamed Rav Ami, when he came to Rav Ami, Meshadalu kamed Rav Yitzhak Bar Chawa. When such a question would come, he didn't want a paskin, he would send it to Rav Yitzhak Bar Chawa, the Maibar Latayra, Shunder Rav Shuman Levi, because he would be Mako, because Rav Shuman Levi holds, and we give them a nasim tam. The Leila Sri but Rav Ami himself did not hold that way. So he didn't want to paskin, but he sent the person who had a question to somebody who indeed held Ein Begidim Nasim Tam. The Uchsin Dalok is Ein Begidim Benoisim Tam. So I saw the Sharm Tzion Balokha says that the Gemara uses the words Ein Begidim Benoisim Tam to teach us a very important point. That it's not only that the Gidim Nosha is not Noisim Tam, but all Gidim are not nice and tam. Of course, the Rishonim already asked, how can we have a machloikis if Gidin are nice and tam or not? Isn't it a machloikis in a physical fact if it's nice and tam or not? So I saw a number of answers in the Rishonim. One answer in the Rishonim goes back to something that we discussed earlier in our Masechta. If when the Torah says that we're not allowed to eat the Gidin, does include the knoit nice that branch off from the Gidim. The Knoit Nois certainly are Nois and Tam. So the Man Bama holds the HB Gidim Nois and Tam, holds because the Knoitness are included, and the Knoitness certainly have Tam. The Man Bama holds HB Gidim Nois and Tam, holds that the Knoitness are not Osir, and the Gid itself, everybody agrees, is not Nois and Tam. Another Pshat that I saw is that there is a Tam, but it's a very minor Tam, and the Machloikis Hatan Machloikis of this Gemara is if that minor tam is considered tam. Furthermore, the Rishonim say that this entire discussion is only regarding the gid itself, but the shumana gid that we've learned many times in our parashas also certainly is nois and tam.